Hello, my name is Lisa Rosales Mora, coming to you from the Talking Information Center. And today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. And this morning I will be reading from the Duxbury Clipper. Today's edition, the same date, Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. And we begin with an article called Bridge Plans Presented. The state offers two options for Powder Point at a public meeting. The Mass Department of Transportation unveiled two designs for the replacement provider Powder Point Bridge at a public meeting on February 11th. Both incorporate wood along the outside and parts of the inside as residents want, but the bridge looks very different than what is currently there. Mass DOT project manager Marco Pereira led the third public meeting on plans to replace the 2,200-foot-long bridge, which runs over Duxbury Bay, to connect mainland Powder Point to Duxbury Beach. The meeting was held at the high school cafeteria and was filled with people eager to catch the first glimpse of the plans. The purpose of the meeting, said Pereira, was to present the preliminary design concept and gather community in order to discuss in more detail the plans for the bridge. He said the new bridge must be constructed with structurally sound materials that meet current bridge designs and must last for 100 years, a requirement when using state and federal money. The plans try to incorporate design elements to create a context-sensitive bridge design, taking into consideration the historical nature of Duxbury and the love residents have for this iconic wooden bridge, he said. This is not a Mass DOT-owned bridge, Pereira said. We are here at the pleasure of the town, offering a product we can build for you and turn the keys over to you, so it's important to note that hopefully we can offer something that delivers real value to the community. Urban Idea Lab architect Eddie Pampitro was hired by Mass DOT for her experience working on historic bridges in Massachusetts. She introduced two conceptual plans for a new bridge. Both incorporate wood on the outside of the bridge and on the pedestrian walkways, which are shown on both sides of the road on both plans. Both concepts have a cement roadway and cement pilings underneath. According to her, the two conceptual designs try to honor the historic character of the bridge while providing modern, safe, and durable features. We know that you are all so passionate about this bridge, she said. We are very passionate as well, so we are on your side. Concept 1 looks more similar to the existing bridge than Concept 2, using wood for the horizontal side railings that looks closer to the current bridge. Concept 1 shows a concrete and steel traffic barrier inside between the roadway and the pedestrian walkway, creating a protected sidewalk. Because of this, the sides of the bridge are much more transparent and look very similar from both the outside and the inside to what is there now. Concept 1 is similar in scale and rhythm in the railing design and uses high-quality timber in sizes that are alike to the existing bridge. You have the cadence and you have the length. You have the transparency, and it is just evocative of what you have now, she said, of Concept 1. It will be a little bit wider because we changed the sidewalk. It will not show because it is so long. So the bridge is going to have the same visual perception as to what you have now. Using as much natural material as possible allows Concept 1 to maintain the relationships between the bridge and beach and water. Concept 1 is the closest humanly possible to the existing bridge that still fulfills all the current safety standards. It will still be iconic. Concept 2 shows vertical wood on the outside covering the steel and a concrete traffic barrier on the inside. This is different, she said. It is more modern. The vertical railing design is a modern interpretation of what is currently there, but the sidewalks without any barrier to the roadway are the same as the current bridge. This design also shows pedestrian sidewalks on both sides, which will be made of composite or timber planks. Concept 2 will also maintain a sense of openness on the bridge the architect said, but with the different railing structure, it is more difficult to see the water, thus being less transparent. The balustrades are much thicker, and because it has to be tiled up, your relationship to the water is not as clear or as aesthetic as the first one. But you do have the similarity in terms of the roadway as to what you have now. Both options have fewer pilings on the underside, holding up the bridge as there are now, and both show a stone embankment at both ends of the bridge. At the beach and at the Powder Point Avenue side, both concepts show three pedestrian crossing on the bridge. The architect also included an optimal plan with either 8-foot or 4-foot overlooks that widen the pedestrian walkway and jut out on the side. This was in response to residents who had said at a previous meeting they liked the idea of an overlook off the sidewalk. Both designs will result in a higher and a wider bridge. At 20 feet, she said the road will be the same width, but the sidewalks will be 8 feet each instead of the 5-foot walkway there now. The bridge will also be higher, but MassDOT engineers said they could not say how much. The bridge would be closed for at least 3 years, mainly due to environmental regs about building in a marine environment. He added that it was not considered a historical bridge since the original bridge that dated to 1891 was fully replaced in 1986. It is not old enough to be considered an historical bridge, but by hiring the historical bridge architect, MassDOT is treating it like it is an historical structure, he said. According to Pereira, the state has allotted $172 million to replace the bridge, but the actual price could be lower, he said. A very high-level guess to make would be enough funding. He was unsure whether that would be available. The money is coming from state and federal funding, so not from taxes or Duxbury residents. It is up to the town whether it wants to pursue a replacement bridge with MassDOT. The process, he said, MassDOT wants to hear feedback from residents on the designs, which plan like they better, what features work better, and what could be done differently. Some residents were not happy with parts of the design, such as the concrete roadway and the concrete crash barriers, saying they would rather they be made of wood. The wooden planks there now are a natural deterrent to speeding on the bridge. Pereira said his design engineers investigating uses different types of materials, such as dimensional lumber, and build the bridge, but were not convinced that they would last or bear the weight requirements necessary for a bridge funded by the federal money. We could not get ourselves to guarantee that we wouldn't give you a hot mess after 5 to 7 years of buckling wood, he said. We can't give you a wood deck that can support a fire truck, full stop. The only way we can split the difference is by giving you a wood walkway surface and fully wood sidewalks with a concrete surface in the middle. Some residents wanted the town to either restore or replace the current bridge with a fully wooden one. A handout at the meeting stated a timber bridge would cost $40 million, but did not list the source of the funding. Pereira said that the area could the process option on its own, but residents would pay the full amount. And he said any bridge must meet the state's engineering standards. Under this funding source, this is what MassDOT can offer you, he said. It's your bridge. You can tell us if you don't want it. Nobody is shoving this down the town's throat. State Senate Patrick O'Connor said that at the request of the town, he and other Duxbury legislators asked that the Powder Point Bridge be placed on MassDOT's transportation improvement list. He urged residents to support the bridge replacement project. DOT has committed to take on what is a town-owned project, invest state money into that so that the townspeople don't have to fund that on their own. and then turn the keys back over to the town, O'Connor said. This is something that we really advocated and fought for. It was for a long period of time. It is going to be perfect. Exactly how you wanted it? No, but in my opinion, I love the first design concept. This is a great opportunity for the town of Duxbury to come together to reimagine what this iconic bridge can look like and get something done that is going to be paid for by the state and not the town. Select Board Chairman Brian Glennon urged residents to offer their input on this project. This is your bridge, he said. We need all of your input. We want your comments. Please remain involved. There is much more work to be done on the plans for a new bridge, Pereira said. This isn't the last time you are going to see it, he said. It is not take it or leave it. To learn more and get involved in the Powder Point Bridge Replacement Project, residents can learn more at mass.gov Powder Point Bridge Replacement Project or email comments on the plans to Powder Point Bridge Bridge Replacement at dot.state.mass.ma.us. You can mail your feedback to Carrie E. Lavalle, P.E., Chief Engineer, Mass. 10 Park Plaza, Boston, Mass. 02116 for more information. And now, reflections on the weather. As we move through February with longer and slightly warmer days, we still find significant snow on the ground after our heavy snowfalls of January and early February, along with cool temperatures. We have seen near normal temperatures over the past week with highs in the upper 30s and low 40s. However, the National Weather Service, as of February 15th, is once again predicting likely below normal readings with its 6 to 10-day forecast and normal readings in its 8 to 14-day outlooks. Also recalling our January readings, Blue Hill Weather Observatory recorded its January temperatures as 2 degrees below its 30-year normal. This was its second consecutive monthly below normal reading, a rarity in these days of many months of consecutive above normal readings. Enjoy the snow while you can. And news from the center, also known as the Duxbury Senior Center. Afternoon tea and author talks at the center. Join us for two local author events this February, both paired with afternoon tea and great conversation. On Thursday, February 19th at 3 p.m., Duxbury author Mark Ciccioni will discuss his new novel, Secrets Among Friends. Set during World War II, the story follows two best friends caught in a love triangle and a trail of dark secrets. Then on Monday, February 23rd at 3, join us for tea with award-winning author Leslie Banatine, who will talk about her acclaimed novel, Lake Song. Books will they'll be available for purchase and signing. Both events are free and open to all. Duxbury Talks. The center welcomes Peter Quigley, chair of the Duxbury Bay Management Committee, for a Duxbury Talks program on the health of Duxbury Bay on Tuesday, February 24th at 11 a.m. Residents are invited to this informal in-person conversation about water quality stewardship and the future of the bay. Struggling with joint pain? Dr. Brian Duong for a workshop he's having on Wednesday, February 25th at 10:30 a.m. at the center. Learn about the benefits of acupuncture, nutrition, and supplements to improve mobility and quality of life. AARP Tax Aid Team is providing free tax return prep at the center for upcoming seasons. Appointments can be scheduled by calling 781-291-3858 and leaving your name, phone number, and the best time for a callback. A team member will return your call to confirm a date and time. Hourly appointments will be available on most Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays through April 10th. Once your appointment is scheduled, you may pick up a tax packet at the Senior Center with instructions and required forms to complete in advance. Academy Award nominating director John Sayles was at the center last week to discuss his new book, Crucible, and was joined by his wife Maggie and actors Marianne Leone and Chris Cooper. Chris and Sophia Bethany of Bethany Builders spoke at the center last week about building accessory dwelling units as part of Livable Duxbury University. The center's home-delivered meal volunteers don't let winter weather stand in the way of caring for our community. And happy Valentine's Day. The center's Abby Zelvis and Reagan Rodriguez, along with other volunteers, created and delivered more than 50 candy grams to Duxbury residents. Explore the world with the center and its travel partner. In 2026, travelers can experience unforgettable journeys to London and Paris, or the Imperial Cities in 2027. Adventures continue through Spain, the Canadian Rockies, and Northern Italy. Visit the center's website for more information or call the center at 781-934-5774. Duxbury for All, along with Duxbury Free Library, will hold a community panel and discussion February 24th from 6 to 8, focused on building a more inclusive town for residents of all ages and abilities. The center, which will be held at It will be held at the center at 10 Mayflower Street. It grew out of listening session last fall where local families and educators and caregivers for residents with disabilities shared their experiences and ideas for how Duxbury can continue to be a place where everyone feels welcomed and supported. The evening is designed to be practical and accessible and centered on listening to lived experiences, learning respectful language, and identifying simple, concrete ways that schools, neighborhoods, and community groups can strengthen inclusion. It's not a training session or a fundraiser, but a chance for people who care about our town to learn together and think collaboratively. If you're interested, please RSVP by contacting Jessica Abrams, Kupenda Director, at jessica@kupenda.org if you have any questions. The public is invited to view and comment on the final draft of the Duxbury Open Space and Recreation Plan for 26 to 36. The 10-year plan will guide efforts to protect natural resources, expand recreational opportunities, strengthen climate resilience, and preserve Duxbury's historic and scenic character. The draft plan reflects extensive community input gathered through surveys, interviews, focus groups, and public meetings. The OSRP is an important policy document that also ensures Duxbury remains eligible for state grants. Town staff and members of the Open Space Plan Working Group will present an overview of the draft plan and solicit feedback at a public forum on Wednesday, February 25th at 7 p.m. at the Center, 10 Mayflower Street. Residents may review the draft plan on the Town Open Space Committee website at town.duxbury.ma.us/open-space-committee. Written comments may be submitted to Joanne Zygmunt via email at jzgmunt@ocpcrpa.org. Town stickers for beach and transfer will be available for purchase starting Monday, March 2. Stickers will be available to purchase online through City Hall system or by mail, drop-off, or in person at the Treasurer Collector's Counter at Town Hall. And in other news and opinions, one reader's view, taxpayers shouldn't pay for full-day kindergarten. In my opinion, override requests should be for necessities, not wants. It's a matter of priorities, not the amount. My understanding is the override proposal of $1.9 million includes $450,000, 24%, to eliminate tuition for full-day kindergarten. So my decision on the proposed override will be an easy no. And I have to note that Cohasset started charging tuition again. I do still question how the school committee determines the annual cost of tuition. Tuition used to be close to $4,000. Now it's $3,000. There's no way the cost of providing full-day tuition has gone down. The average number of full-time kindergarten pupils over the last 3 years at Chandler is 189. If the cost of the full-time kindergarten is $450,000, tuition should be closer to $2,400 per year. Parents should be asking, why are you charging us more than it costs? Mark McDivitt, Chestnut Street. And so the editor's note says, we asked School Department Finance Director Lisa Freely to explain the costs related to the full-day kindergarten program. According to Freely, the cut in tuition is a deliberate change in policy to make the program more accessible. The $450,000 is not the total cost of the program, she explained. Costs such as salaries and transportation are included in the school district's general budget. The total cost of the program is more than $1.3 million. The $450,000 represents the revenue replacement needed to eliminate tuition entirely. Eliminating the tuition would remove a financial barrier for families interested in the program, she told the Clipper. Another reader's view, schools are worth the tax increase. I understand the frustration many longtime homeowners feel as rising property values push their tax bills higher. Nobody wants to be priced out of the town they've called home for decades. But as residents continue to discuss taxation, especially property taxes, I'd encourage younger residents and working families in particular to consider what we'd be giving up. Duxbury's public schools are consistently ranked among the best in Massachusetts, and that reputation is not an accident. It's a direct product of the funding our tax base provides, of investment in the next generation. Property tax cuts sound appealing in the abstract, but the math is straightforward. Less revenue means fewer teachers, larger class sizes, and reduced programming. For families who moved here specifically for the quality of the schools or who are raising the next generation of Duxbury kids, that trade-off deserves serious consideration as this conversation continues. This doesn't have to be an either-or debate. There may be thoughtful ways to ease the burden on fixed-income seniors without hollowing out the institutions that make this town worth living in. But any proposal that reduces school funding to deliver broad tax relief should give us pause. I urge my fellow residents, especially younger families, so busy balancing kids and careers that issues like this barely make the to-do list, to stay part of this conversation and make sure our schools remain the asset they've always been. By Wesley Lowenfield, Phillipsbrook Circle. Rethink the feasibility study. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Duxbury, congratulations. You win a bronze medal. Your select board just voted to endorse the third most expensive feasibility study for a school in all the Commonwealth's history. At $1.75 million for Duxbury Alden School paper study? Hello? The goal goes to the $400 million Roxbury Volk Tech School. The silver goes to the $2 million feasibility study with the Massachusetts School Building Authority and Martha's Vineyard, which is now leading to a new $300 million high school on the island. Our potential feasibility study is 644 students in grades 3 through 5. Stay at Alden, renovate, or build shiny new somewhere else. Other schools our size have done feasibility studies for much, much less. Duxbury is currently carrying a bond until 2037 to pay for our recent school building projects. This new feasibility study could lead to a new $150 to $180 million or more grade 3 through 5 school in 3 years, with additional borrowing on our residential tax base, or it could lead to a restoration of the current Alden School. The school is not overcrowded. It went from 855 students in 2008 to 644 students now in 2026. It has old internal parts. The Alden School needs repairs. No one disputes that. But can the soon-be 40% of the town that will be senior citizens in the next 5 years afford another shiny new school on their taxes? Or would a less expensive restoration possibly work? Some parents equate shiny new schools with better education. Well, I think well-paid teachers and smaller class size is the ticket to excellent education. Vote at town meeting in March on the feasibility study, Let Your Voice Be Heard, or a small building committee, emphasis on building, and a school superintendent who does not pay Duxbury taxes will be driving the show. By Sheila Lynch Bentinen on West Street. The 14th annual Duxbury Half Marathon takes place April 4th. Proceeds provide essential support for the Duxbury Senior Center and Council on Aging programs, especially the Social Day program, which serves people living with Alzheimer's disease and their care partners to get involved, register to run or walk, and be part of a community event. Volunteer, course support, water stops, and finish line help. Become a sponsor. Local business and community sponsorship help make this event possible and maximize the impact of funds raised. Call Chris at the center. 781-934-5774. The Community Preservation Committee is seeking a resident to fill an open, unexpired citizen at large term, effective immediately. If interested, go to town.duxbury.ma.us/duxbury-selectboard/pages/volunteer. Boards Committee, or else call the town hall and inquire. And that ends the reading for today. Thank you for listening. I hope everybody has a good week. This is Lisa Rosales-Mora from the Talking Information Center signing off. Thank you.